At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
We know what you're thinking. I just want jeans that look great, feel great, and hold up. At Ariat, we've been doing some thinking too. We're thinking about fit that moves with you, no matter where the ride takes you. Durability that stands up to hard work, harder play, and comfort that never quits. And all this thinking, it's really just about more living. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat jeans at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Good morning. Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Craig Mish, Davis Maddock. It is Thursday night football time and a good game, I think, on deck here as we have Tennessee taking on Green Bay. Some serious weather concerns for one of the games this weekend, not surprisingly, in Buffalo. And naturally, of course, we'll recap the NBA and get you ready for this evening. Davis, great to be back with you here once again on the show. And here we go. Another week in the NFL coming up.
Another week in the NFL, pretty busy week on the waiver wire last night. You know, lots of contingencies to prepare for. We got quarterbacks who are questionable. Is this Bills game even going to be played? The governor of the state, you know, declared a state of emergency due to all of the blizzarding. There's a state of emergency. That means people aren't coming to the games. Do you play it in an empty stadium? Do you move it? In this scenario in the past, I believe they've played in Detroit, obviously, which is a covered dome, but then you have to get the players to the game. I mean, we've seen this happen before with these Buffalo games. It ends up being a mess. Remember that Vikings game that got played on Wednesday night? That messes with fantasy, messes with waivers, messes with trade. I mean, I do not envy our fantasy football commissioners watching this program right now. I think they could be in for some headaches.
Yeah, it could be a Monday night game, Tuesday night game. We certainly will see. Let's get to our headlines here on the show. We begin with the Golden State Warriors, and boy, it has been a tough go of it thus far for them. 50 points last night for Steph Curry, not enough as the Suns win that game head-to-head. LaMelo Ball re-injures his left ankle after stepping on a fan's foot. What a story there. Saints, by the way, sticking with Andy Dalton at quarterback. Don't get this one. I guess we'll dive into this. And then Taylor Heinicke will start for the Washington Commanders. That should be no surprise as they take on the Houston Texans. So we could start anywhere here. I guess we could go from football and then go to basketball here. Heinicke, not a surprise at all. But, I mean, I assume at this point, and you know how I feel about Jameis Winston, but I assume at this point Winston's got to be hurt because there's no really other excuse to not at least try something different if you're the Saints.
Yeah, that's what the beat writers were saying. Nick Underhill reported yesterday that had Jameis Winston been healthier, they probably would have pulled this switch already. I mean, that initial report on the injury for Jameis Winston did not sound very good. I mean, me personally, I can't imagine doing anything with fractures in my back, so I can't really imagine playing quarterback in the NFL with, I believe it was 4 transverse fractures. I mean, that just sounds horrible. The one thing I am honestly surprised they haven't tried is just let Taysom be quarterback for a game. I mean, you know how that movie's probably going to end, probably going to throw some picks, you know, but how can it be any worse? How can it be any worse than losing by 10 points to the Pittsburgh Steelers? Like, whatever usefulness Andy Dalton had, it's used up. Like, we got to move on.
Yeah, no, for sure. All right, now let's touch on the NBA here a little bit. LaMelo Ball, you know, obviously this is not something that you want to see in the NBA, and I guess it raises some more questions about how fans can sit close to the court. Obviously, courtside seats are right there. And then also the Warriors, it just seems like nothing has gone right for them this year.
Well, I mean, you're totally correct. Nothing has gone right with them. There's a couple things going on with them. Probably the most important, honestly, is the fact that Klay is true shooting percentage below 50% for the first time in his career. That's going to be a big problem. And Draymond is playing well, but he's not playing like Defensive Player of the Year. He can't rebound to save his life. So if Draymond can't rebound to save his life, Klay is kind of working his way back to full health. well, okay, what are you going to do? Is Kevon Looney, do you want Kevon Looney to be playing 30 minutes a night? Probably not, because you want some shooting from your center position. Okay, Moses Moody can't get in the game. Jonathan Kuminga was a DNP last night. I guess he is sick. Apparently he has the flu, but he wasn't in the rotation before that either. I mean, either for this team to repeat and be as good as they were last season, either everyone had to play as well as they did last year. Curry at roughly an MVP level. I think he's been there. Klay has not been that strong. And Jordan Poole, I mean, Jordan Poole wants a maximum contract. He wants the Warriors to give him $160 million. Well, he's not playing like a five-year $160 million player. He's playing like, you know, fancy Brandon Jennings. I mean, right. There's not really a big difference between Jordan Poole right now and, like, you know, whatever guard is coming off the bench. You know, I mean, he's just kind of an average guard. And he was a huge part of their really good scoring lineups, that pool party lineup that they played last year. And I don't know what they do. I mean, they sent Wiseman to the G League. They sent a top five lottery pick that they really need to the G League. They're playing Kevon Looney instead of a guy who's a top five pick.
Yeah. Well, Warriors got to get it figured out. But the good news is that seasons long in the NBA could sort of coast and get in one of those end playoff spots or even a play-in game and still potentially win the championship. Haven't seen that. But it could happen for sure with Golden State. They've been there before. All right, coming up next, time to dive into some more fantasy football talk. Obviously, need some replacements this week, as Davis mentioned, at quarterback and some other spots as well. So we will be on the grid for that. And Davis, here we are. I'm sure you're getting excited here. World Cup coming up on Monday. Do you have your pick for the World Cup yet?
Yeah. I think Argentina is my team that I am picking to select at all. Going to be doing that England-USA game live on In-Game Live with our buddy Mr. Dubs Anderson on the program. So really looking forward to all of that.
What is that game?
That is the Black Friday afternoon game.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
I believe it is noon Eastern time, maybe 1 Eastern time on the Friday after Thanksgiving.
All right, so Davis will be here along with Dubs on that Friday. I know we have some special shows for you next week surrounded around the opening of the World Cup, especially on Monday, which is the first day that this thing kicks off. So stick on the grid for that. All right, coming up next, more fantasy football talk as we get you ready for this upcoming week. Lots of changes in the NFL, no doubt. Lots of injuries, too. So stay on the grid. We'll get back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back, Fantasy Sports Today, here on Sports Grid. Naturally, there's a lot of big changes in the NFL at quarterback. We saw a ton last week, Davis. And, you know, some players definitely need to be picked up this week as well. And I wonder, from your perspective, does it look bleak? Does it look good? I mean, are there matchups this week that you like? Because, I mean, last week I had to bench a couple of my quarterbacks because of the bye week. And, you know, I feel like it was pretty desolate.
Yeah, I mean, at this stage of the season, anyone who you got it, I mean, if you lost Trey Lance, if you lost Dak Prescott at the beginning of the season, maybe you would have lucked into Tua. Maybe you would have lucked into Justin Fields, right? I mean, those guys were not drafted in a ton of 12-team leagues. Well, you go to the waiver wire this week. You know, maybe Kyler's not going to play. Maybe you somehow were still sitting there with Matt Stafford. Maybe you've been fighting through with Tom Brady, who's on bye this week. Maybe you don't want to start Aaron Rodgers against Tennessee. Maybe you're spooked by this weather for Josh Allen. I mean, the total for that game is down to 41. Well, the waiver wire, not looking particularly kind this week. Not really anyone that I'm rushing out and saying, I really want to start this guy this week.
All right, well, let's take a look at some potential options and sort of decide, what decisions that people will have to make. We'll start off with the Carolina Panthers. And a tough situation there for sure, Davis. I'm, quite frankly, surprised Sam Darnold's not back in there at this point. But anyway, Baker Mayfield this season, it has not worked out, to say the least. I think he's going to get this one last shot here to sort of prove what he can do. And I think you sort of said it, Davis, maybe a month ago, that like Baker's going to play in the NFL for a long time as a backup quarterback. Like he's probably going to kick around if he wants to for a long time. But I think right now, as it stands, I mean, starting him, I mean, how far do you have to be down to be able to have to start him this week?
I mean, you got to be pretty far down. Of every quarterback who is going to start this week, I think I would rank Baker Mayfield last. He's going up against Baltimore. He's only playing. He's not playing because the coaching staff wants him in. PJ Walker suffered a high ankle sprain. That's the only reason that Baker's playing. And in fact, there were even reports, I can't remember if it was Schefter or Rap Sheet who put this out there, but there are reports that inside the Panthers building, they want Sam, a couple of voices want Sam Darnold to start. They want to see what Darnold has left in the tank. And I mean, can you blame them given how poor Baker Mayfield is playing? I think honestly, in a super flex league that doesn't penalize you a ton for interceptions or fumbles or whatever, I think I would start him. But I am in at least one super flex league that pretty harshly penalizes turnovers, and also there's a small penalization for incomplete passes. And I would not start Baker Mayfield. I would leave him out on the waiver wire in that scenario. Just not really interested in him this week.
All right, let's move on now and take a look at the Arizona Cardinals. Now, Colt McCoy did just enough to get the job done against the Rams. I don't know if that's enough to win a lot of games, and I know Kyler Murray is the guy there, but I think it's safe to say at this point, Davis, that Kyler Murray has not had the season that a lot of fantasy owners wanted. Certainly, we know he can run the ball. We've seen late-game heroics from him this year. It almost feels like when he's gone off script, that's when he's been at his best. 14 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, over 2,000 passing yards. I'm starting to see some fantasy leagues, Davis, where people are not starting Kyler Murray anymore.
I mean, I would definitely start Kyler if I had him this week. I mean, it is a tough matchup. San Francisco is not a defense. When you're looking at the schedule, you're looking at game totals, and you're like, oh, I got to stream quarterbacks against San Francisco. These are the scenarios where I could see benching him if you picked up Justin Fields. And that's it, right? Because you could have picked up Tua, and but Tua's on bye this week. But I would start Kyler over, kind of the other guys who are always there on the waiver wire: Jared Goff, Derek Carr, Taylor Heineke, those types of guys. Because I mean, at the end of the day, like, sure, maybe you get this awful result from Kyler and he gets 11 points or whatever. But also, what are the chances you turn on Red Zone and, our guy Scott Hansen is coming over and he's, wait, can you believe this? Kyler Murray escapes the pressure and he goes around. And then 40-yard rushing touchdown. And you're like, great, great. I benched Kyler Murray for Jared Goff. Ooh. And I got what I got.
Yeah, no, that's the hard part of this. But my confidence level is low. But you're right. From a fantasy perspective, you look at some of these other options we're talking about, and it's like, how do you not just throw that dart and hope for the best? Monday night game, I believe, for Murray, if I'm not mistaken. All right, finally, Matt Ryan, who we talked a little bit about yesterday, probably put his best game together of the season. No, actually, he played the Chiefs, your Chiefs. He crushed them. But beyond that, I think he put his best game of the season together. He's had some good games. I'm probably not being fair. But out of the 7 or 8 starts he had, I think that probably, in my opinion, there's been 2 or 3. Is this another one this week for Matt Ryan?
Yeah, he actually wasn't good against the Chiefs. The Chiefs just turned the ball over a bunch of times, only had 222 yards, got sacked 5 times against the Chiefs. He's had only one game this year, or actually 2 games this year, with over 300 passing yards. That came against Tennessee in a loss and a big win against Jacksonville. I would say, I mean, at this point, I mean, watching that game without Jordan Davis in there on the interior for the Philadelphia Eagles. Seems like the move is to just run the ball against the Eagles. And if you get out to a lead now, again, I mean, you know, anything can happen in one game. I was pretty surprised by that result on Monday night between the Commanders and the Eagles. I would be surprised to see the Eagles, you know, look like a team that should lose to the Indianapolis Colts. Like, I think the line, I don't think I would take the Eagles as a huge favorite here, but I don't think the Indianapolis Colts are going to be winning this game. I think probably we're going to see a big dosage of Jonathan Taylor. Last week, it was the most amount of, highest percentage of the Indianapolis Colts snaps that he had ever played in a single game. Kind of feels like Jeff Saturday came in the building and was like, yeah, we're just going to hand the ball to this guy. And if he does well, then we're probably going to win. And obviously the Raiders implosion was a big part of that. I mean, I just think it looks like Matt Ryan is cooked. I mean, 6.2 adjusted yards per attempt. He's got 10 touchdowns and 9 interceptions. He's taking a bunch of sacks. That was a big thing before Frank Reich got fired. They talked about how the offensive line was letting him down. I don't think they magically got any better since Sam Ehlinger was the quarterback. So I just, yeah, I mean, I don't know. If there was one guy I would be looking to stream this week, it would be Daniel Jones against Houston, just hoping that he's able to get, you know, 50 yards rushing and a rushing touchdown. Or not against Houston, against Detroit, rather. Or Taylor Heinicke against Houston. Those would be the two streamers I would be looking at.
Where do you have Russell Wilson?
Totally unstartable. I mean, the Denver Broncos have scored the fewest points in the NFL, less than the Texans, less than the Rams, less than the Saints. You know, they're horrible. They are the worst offensive team in football. I think the Rams will actually probably be worse for the rest of the season without Cooper Kupp. But yeah, I mean, I just have no, and Jerry Jeudy might not play or might play banged up. So I just have zero faith in the Denver Broncos' ability to score points. And I am, I remain shocked that Nathaniel Hackett is the head coach of this team, because, I mean, they were scoring more points with a loser, total loser, Vic Fangio head coach, and Drew Locke last season. Like, think about that. A total defense first head coach, Drew Locke and Teddy Bridgewater, and the offense was like 25% better than what they have on the field, right? Inexcusable. I mean, literally inexcusable, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, they, you know, like, totally misfired, it just looks like. I mean, teams make big mistakes. This looks like one of them. I had to start Derek Carr in a league last week. I thought he was okay, Davis. Like, I thought that, you know, I mean, he threw a touchdown pass, so, you know, that's what I got there. I don't know if you saw his post game, but I don't think his future's there either.
I mean, they got to try and get a quarterback, right? I mean, Derek Carr, like, and they're going, it's going to get even worse, because I think they're probably going to end up losing this game against Denver. Denver has the number one pass defense in the NFL. I believe Patrick Surtain has only allowed like one touchdown in coverage for 10 games. So it's going to get ugly.
Yeah, I think I took Denver this week. Yeah, against the Raiders. I don't think I can take the Raiders again. All right, coming up next, it's time for us to get in our daily fantasy mode here. We got our DraftKings app out.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Oh, we're going to help you set a lineup next. So stay on the grid. We're looking at the Titans and Packers on Thursday Night Football. Craig, Mitch, Davis, Maddox. We'll be right back.
Break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I like this game tonight, David, because I'm not really sure which way it's going to go. I kind of feel like, initially looking at the line during the week that the Titans were +3, and I'm like, yeah, I mean, that definitely feels like the right side in this one. And all of a sudden, Green Bay went to 3.5, and it's like, as somebody who likes to go the other way, I don't like the fact that I saw another half on Green Bay. Like, I didn't like that, but regardless, it's once again must-win game every game for the Packers. They looked so much better last week. But if you watch that game against Dallas, what did it tell you? They could have easily lost, right? Like, it easily could have lost that game.
Probably should have lost, honestly.
Should have lost. So it is really hard for me to get behind Green Bay based off one good game. But then again, I watched Tennessee play last week against Denver and thought to myself, this team does not look any good either. So what do you expect tonight? I don't know. I'm not really sure on this one.
Well, very disheartening words for someone who loves the National Football League, but I'm expecting crap. I am expecting a lot of Derrick Henry running into the line. I'm expecting a lot of Aaron Rodgers, just sort of his eyes bulging and yelling at a wide receiver for running the wrong route. You know, him looking over at Matt LaFleur and rolling his eyes. Would not surprise me to see this game well under the total. We have two pretty bad offenses. I mean, look, all due respect to multiple MVP winner Aaron Rodgers. He has not been good this year. He is in an easy conference, easy division, and they lost to the freaking Detroit Lions, right? How many times has Rodgers lost to the Detroit Lions in his career? Not all that many. So I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. I think both quarterbacks are going to play pretty poorly. They have only gotten 2 days of practice here. Ryan Tannehill in that game last week literally looked like he couldn't move. They weren't rolling him out. It was all five-step drop. Is that going to get any better 72 hours after playing a game? Probably not. I wonder if we see some, they get to the goal line and they do some Malik Willis, Wildcat, the Taysom Hill stuff with him. To be positive, Christian Watson, right? We got Christian Watson, looked great last week. Always fun to see a young, great wide receiver, just kind of give us someone else to start to root for in fantasy. And Treylon Burks came back last week from his foot injury, looked pretty good. So that is what I will be tuning in for, is those two young guys.
Yeah, I know you usually tweet out like a huge underdog to score first. I think you could hit one tonight. I think you may be able to hit one.
Here's the thing. You're right. I have never seen prices like this. The deepest guy this morning, the whole thing, 70-1. I mean, it's like if the backup fullback is 70-1, I can't bet any of these, right? It's no fun. Right.
Yeah, no. You've been tweeting them all out, and you got the one right, but the theory that you have has been correct every time. It's just been somebody else on the 40-1 or the 50-1 or the 60-1.
Yeah.
So like, these are so dangerous for the books. I think that they have to come down on a lot of these. It does make some sense. And look, the weapons outside of the running backs on either team, I think anything can happen as far as scoring first in this game. So, all right, so let's take a look at it. I mean, obviously Derrick Henry is going to be the highest priced player tonight over on DraftKings. And naturally he has a good shot to succeed, but look at the game script for last week. You would have thought he had a huge chance to succeed. Denver with a really good pass defense, not as good against the run, and Henry didn't do anything. He's hard to figure out. Aaron Jones did look fantastic. He is priced tonight at 16,800. We have Aaron Rodgers at 15,500, Tannehill at 14,400, Alan Lazard at 12,900, and boy, FanDuel did adjust their price on Watson for tonight, that's for sure. He's 11,100 tonight. But who knows? I mean, Davis, who's to say that Christian Watson doesn't go 3 for 30 tonight? Like, you never know. It's the NFL.
It's true. You never know. So the complicating factor that we are going to have in tonight's slate is that Randall Cobb is returning from the IR, seems to be fully healthy, and DraftKings left him at $200. So that means that if you play Randall Cobb in the flex, you can play whoever you want. You can play Watson. You can play Rodgers. You can play them both together with Treylon Burks and Derrick Henry. You can play whoever you want in the captain. And I actually like that, and I like it for a couple of different reasons. So the first is it allows you just a greater number of total combinations. Generally speaking, most slates, it is unlikely that there is going to be a $200 player who projects for, you know, let's say over a point and a half or something pretty close to that. And then the other thing that I like about it is most of the people who are playing these single entry or these single game contests on DraftKings and FanDuel are using some sort of optimization software to generate their lineups for them. And if you do that, if you build 150 lineups with Randall Cobb projected for his 6 points or whatever, sure, he'll get in some lineups. But generally speaking, my experience, I mean, we had Deebo Samuel returning from injury. He was $200. We had Eli Mitchell the other night for the 49ers. He came back from injury and was $200. And in all of those instances, I have found that the amount of rosters that the $200 guy shows up on tends to be less than what it should be. You know, I think realistically, Randall Cobb should probably be on 40 to 50% of rosters tonight on DraftKings. Not even going to get close to that. I would be shocked if he even got to like 30, 35%. So I've just, you know, Randall Cobb, my night is going to go with you. So a lot of what I'm doing is I'm going to play a lot of Christian Watson in the captain, a lot of Treylon Burks in the captain, probably no Aaron Rodgers in the captain. How about this stat? Aaron Rodgers in a single game this season has yet to be the highest fantasy point scorer on the Packers roster. 10 games has not been the highest fantasy point scorer on their roster. I was looking at that this morning. I just thought that was very surprising.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't have guessed that. Especially, you would have, you know, Rodgers used to like to run the ball in the end zone. Remember those days where you'd be on the 8, running the ball in? I don't do that that much anymore. All right, okay, so now some other potential options for this week. Don't love really any of them. Maybe the third guy that we'll get to here. But let's start off here. I don't know what happened to Eno Benjamin in Arizona. And Davis, has that been reported at all? Like exactly what happened with him there? He didn't like his playing time or something? I mean, who is he to complain about playing time if that's the case? I can't imagine that. So who picks him up? Naturally, it's the Houston Texans. Why? They could hold him and then maybe, you know, trade him in the offseason, do something like that. If Pierce's status, you'll have to update me on that. Is he hurt? Is he healthy? Regardless of that, I mean, I can't imagine playing, you know, Benjamin this week, maybe in a daily fantasy format as a dart throw, but I would not play him as an RB1 or RB2 even flex. How about you?
Yeah, I don't think we're going to be playing any, you know, Benjamin. So it was reported on loosely, not exactly the exact words that Eno said, the exact words that Cliff said, but what was reported was honestly exactly what you would expect when you see a guy cut after, you know, being, I mean, he was their starting running back for multiple games this season. He felt he did pretty good, which I agree with. I thought he did look pretty good in those starts, had a 100-yard game. And James Conner comes back from injury, gets the starting job back, plays 92% of the snaps last week. And, you know, Benjamin goes to Cliff and he's like, what the heck, man? I was playing so good. Why am I not on the field? Why is James Conner? Why does he get to come back and play all these snaps? And Cliff says, you know what? You're out of here, bud. You're not making any money. You don't count against our books. You're out of here. Now, obviously, was that the entire tenure of what happened? You would guess not. I mean, you would guess that there were probably some heated words exchanged. You would guess maybe some expletives exchanged between Eno and Cliff or something like that. Very similar, actually, to what happened to Eno's teammate, Robbie Anderson, who was yelling at Matt Rhule and then got traded. So, do I blame Eno Benjamin? Absolutely not. I mean, Cliff, you're every week you're watching Cliff mess up the team's game plan. You're like, this guy stinks. We have all these great players. We can't win any games. Why aren't you playing me, coach? I get it.
Yeah, Arizona next year is going to be a great pick to win this. Todd Gurley, I mean, Todd Gurley had some sustained success, I think. It's probably not fair to throw it on him, but it is fair to throw it on David Johnson, that's for sure. Because David Johnson had one amazing, you know, one okay year where he came on, looked great, and then one amazing season in the NFL. And you're talking about a dive down, fast dive down. This guy had it, Davis. Number one or number two overall pick in fantasy. This dude played one game, missed the whole year, and was never the same after that. Why would it, don't disrespect David Johnson, why would anyone sign him? Why?
I mean, the Saints just need bodies, really. He was with them in the preseason. So I guess just a little bit of familiarity. Remember though, what happened with the Arizona Cardinals in, so that year breaks his hand, right? Can't come back, breaks his hand, can't come back. Carson Palmer is the quarterback. That was back when they had, Michael Floyd and JJ Nelson and Jerron Brown. They were high flying. They threw the ball deep. What happens? Carson Palmer retires. Who's the quarterback? David Johnson gets stuck behind frickin' Sam Bradford and Josh Rosen. They were the worst offense in football. They averaged 5 yards per passing attempt, and they gave the ball to David Johnson 310 times behind that offensive line, and basically his body just never recovered because he was kind of a smaller receiving style back anyways, and they just, I mean, dude, they ruined him. It was horrible because I love David Johnson. David Johnson went to college with one of my groomsmen at the University of Northern Illinois, so I kind of knew about him when he came into the NFL. Northern Iowa, sorry, and then scored a touchdown on his very first touch in the NFL. It was a kick return, and had 9 touchdowns on like 80 touches as a rookie. Great. Always loved David Johnson, and never loved how the Cardinals treated him. Never got his big paycheck either, by the way.
No, I mean, that's what happened in the NFL. We forgot one guy that we were going to talk about here. We'll see if we can knock that out coming up in our next segment before we hit fantasy or reality. So stay on the grid as we get ready for Thursday night football. We have plenty more to come here on the show, so don't go away. We'll be right back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
2 ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
Odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. One other player that we ran out of time on the last segment to talk about as maybe a potential pickup in fantasy. We'll get an update here. And honestly, Davis, we haven't mentioned his name at all before we get to fantasy reality. That's Jameson Williams of the Detroit Lions, who arguably, if he wasn't the best receiver in college football, he certainly was in that conversation. He had a really bad injury, obviously, that kept him out for a long period of time. I remember hearing that he was going to miss like 6 to 8 weeks of the season. But boy, we're here at week 10. I haven't heard anything about him. Is he worth a pickup at all, like an IR stash, if he's out there?
Yeah, I mean, I think that really probably I don't think you would start him until like week 15. So we're heading into week 11. He hasn't returned, has not been activated. He'll have a 21-day window upon activation where they can either activate him or he has to go on IR for the rest of the season. DJ Shark is back at practice, so that is definitely worth noting in terms of the role that he would step into. You know, it would not be as if he would be competing with just Amon-Ra St. Brown. Like, and remember, Shark looked pretty good in the first couple games. He was part of that crazy game where the Lions scored like 50 points or whatever, 15th highest scoring regular season game ever against the Seahawks. And I just, there's like no way he gets 80% of the snaps in any game this year. What they're going to do, they're going to activate him after Thanksgiving, maybe the first week of December. They're going to say, all right, bud, this is what playing in the NFL is like. This is what an NFL cornerback looks like. Go run some routes, get some targets, do your thing, and, you know, just be ready for next year. I would stash him, sure, if you have 2 IR slots or whatever, you're not using them. But by the time he's going to be active, the bye weeks will be over. So if you're having to start him, I mean, your fantasy team's probably not that good, right? So probably isn't going to make it to the championship rounds either.
Yep, that does make some sense. All right, let's end our show with a little fantasy or reality. All Okay, now full transparency on today's fantasy or reality. Brett does a great job preparing us for some of these things. Normally, I'm on top of everything that's happening the night before. But last night, I was fortunate to go to Sandy Alcantara's Cy Young Award party, and this thing went late, Davis, so I do have to apologize if there are some things that I am off on today. It was wake up, let's see what we got going on the show, and get on there. That's just kind of the way that it works. They are very rare. Out of 365, there's like two of these a year. Last night was definitely that night for me. So Western Michigan played Central Michigan. I saw the final scores 12-10. I did catch a few highlights just to see what I missed. I'm not sure what I am missing here. So fantasy or reality, Western Michigan against Central Michigan was the most fun game in the snow of the college football season.
So, like, I do enjoy Maction in general. I liked it a lot more, and I think this is true of lots of things. I watched a lot of Mac college football when I was in college, because what was I doing when I was in college? I was living with my buddies, didn't have a girlfriend, didn't have dogs, didn't have a full-time job, was kind of just hanging out. So on a Tuesday night, what did we have to do? You know, we weren't doing laundry or you know, clean it. We were just hanging out. So we would watch a lot of Western Michigan, a lot of Ball State, a lot of Northern Illinois, you know, a lot of these, which I think is, by the way, like a smart thing that these schools did whenever they decided to do it, of being like, let's play when we are competing against nothing. It's like implies that more people would have to watch it. And even it, like, I didn't watch it. I was actually outside freezing my butt off at the very first St. Louis City soccer game, which was really cool. It was a good experience. I'm glad that I went. But I wasn't checking in on the score of this. Like, I didn't care. And I didn't really see people on my Twitter timeline. I saw a couple people who were like, oh my God, can you believe this? Everyone out here looks miserable. There are no fans there. No, it wasn't. The Alabama-Tennessee game, that is the peak for this college football season. So every time we get a college football question, it's going to go back to that game. And maybe another game this year will top it, but Western Michigan, Central Michigan did not.
Yeah, I think a game is going to top that Alabama-Tennessee game, whether it's in the playoff or a bowl game or a game before the end of the year. You're right, though. That right there is the bar that is set for best game of the year, because obviously Alabama lost and had a chance to tie or win at the end of the game, too. So, again, I didn't see any of this game last night. And like Davis, my timeline was just full of Cy Young stuff, so I didn't catch any of it. And just looked today, saw it snowed, saw the final score. So with all due respect to our producer, Brett Levy, I'm going to also say fat fantasy here. Now, listen, if it was 48-44 in the snow and no one could stop it, anybody, I mean, I may have to change my tune here. But these low-scoring snow games, you know, I'm just sort of perplexed here at this point with the amount of games that are played every year in the snow in November and December that end up being horrible. Why every year do we look forward to seeing games in the snow? Like, you hear, oh, I can't wait to see a game in the snow. They always stink. They're always terrible. I cannot figure this out. The lone game, maybe everyone goes back to that old Dallas game that it was snowing and Leon Lett, you know, sliding into the end zone.
That is literally what people think. That's what everyone goes back to.
It must be, because that was one of the best games of all time. And I get it, and I understand that, but since then, I mean, maybe there's been a few with Boise or something like that that I can't recall, but I got fantasy too. All right, now, the Nets situation just keeps on getting worse. There's a new article out about Kevin Durant essentially calling out his teammates for a lot of different things. Now, again, you remember what happened. We want to be clear here. Remember what happened in the offseason. Kevin Durant was trying to do everything he possibly could, Davis, to get out of Brooklyn. So this shouldn't really come as a surprise. I guess there's still a chance that this could happen, because if the Nets play like they're playing right now, the Nets' hands is going to be forced based on their record. They're just going to have to trade everything they can to get assets for the future. So fantasy or reality, you think Kevin Durant, Davis, will regret calling out his teammates in an article? We've seen this play out before in the NBA, and what usually happens? It works. And the guy gets what he wants.
No, he's not going to regret it, because I actually don't think what he said was that inflammatory. So the quote that people are going to is, he's like, look at our starting lineup. And he names a bunch of scrubs. I guess Nicholas Claxton is not really a scrub, but Edmund Sumner, Joe Harris, you know, Seth Curry. I mean, all due respect. These are bench players at the NBA. They've been bench players on other teams that made the playoffs, but neither of them are, you know, these are not all-stars. These are not Hall of Famers. These are very average level NBA players. And Kevin Durant's point was, you look at this team and you see Kevin Durant's name in the starting lineup and you assume that this team is going to win games. And I mean, look, you know, the way Giannis goes about things, the way Luka goes about things, like these guys are picking up the work pail, going to work, doing their things. But also, Kevin Durant is 34. He is not, he's like not a super popular guy, despite all that he's accomplished. I think pretty clearly one of the things that bothers Kevin Durant is just because of how his career unfolded, he is not going to be regarded as one of the 10 or 15 best players of all time, even though he like very clearly is. He's basically the most efficient jump shooter that the sport has ever seen. Like no one has been more efficient, like literally jump shooting them. I guess Curry is really the only other one. And that's a bummer, but no, he's not going to regret this because of exactly what you said. I think in the end, he probably is going to get what he wants. One, Steve Nash got fired, and he's probably going to have Steve Nash get fired and get traded to the Phoenix Suns or whoever he wants to go to this season, I think.
Yeah, no, I think so too, and I'm with you. I think this is fantasy. It's surprising for me to hear you say that people would not regard him as a top 20 player or 15 player of all time. I mean, I would have just assumed that. I probably wouldn't put him in my top
five. It's crazy. It's crazy. They don't.
Maybe not in my top five, but I mean, right out after the Birds and the Jordans and the Kobes and the LeBrons, you know, and the Wilt Chamberlains and the Bill Russells, like, I mean, he's still within that conversation of those guys. I would think that he would be. And even if he wasn't in the top 10, he's got to be in the top 15, something like that. Yeah, but this is just his way of getting out. I think he sees the writing on the wall. His career is not going 10 more years. This kind of player does not last forever. And I think that he's got to get out. So I would say that fantasy, he's not going to regret this at all. Does James Harden regret all that nonsense that he pulled to get himself out and get him to Philadelphia by wearing the fat suit? I don't think so. I got fantasy, no doubt about this. All right, New Year's Eve is coming fast and furious. Feels like a real New Year's Eve this year, maybe for the first time in a while. I know last year was sort of a real one, but it does feel like we're, you know, sort of living here at this point. So New Year's Eve is going to be out there, going to be in New York. And, you know, Don Lemon, everyone else, a lot less drinking going to be shown on television. And naturally, this is, you know, sort of what made those shows fun for those people who stay home and don't do anything New Year's Eve. Because, again, you have some C-list celebrity Davis who's out there, who's making a fool of themselves. We're watching it on television and going, wow, that was funny. Fantasy or reality, you will miss people drinking on air during the New Year's telecast. These are supremely popular. You would be surprised, Davis. The ratings of these shows are usually very high. A lot of people do stay home and just watch these things on TV. You'll miss this, fantasy or reality.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've done this fantasy, like a similar fantasy reality about these New Year's shows before. And you're right. I am extremely surprised because I don't know who's watching these. Like, to my knowledge, I don't think my parents ever watched these. Maybe they watched The Ball Drop. Maybe my grandparents watched The Ball Drop. But I know, didn't Ed Sullivan used to do this, like, way back in the day? Wasn't he one of... No, maybe... Dick Clark, that's what it is. Not Ed Sullivan, Dick Clark, you're right. And I know the Dick Clark, you know, The Ball Drop, the New Year's Eve, the television show for New Year's Eve. I know that through references. I know that because it's referenced on The Simpsons a bunch. Actually, there's a Robin in How I Met Your Mother. Like, she is the New Year's Eve television person once, you know. So it's like something I know via cultural osmosis. Have not, to my knowledge, watched 1 minute of this. So I got to say fantasy. I'm not going to miss it because I'm not going to be tuned in for missing this.
Yeah, this was really popular when you had ABC, NBC, CBS, and Fox, and they all sort of competed against each other, and this is what they did at night. Not nearly as popular now, but, you know, parents are not, Davis. Anybody over the age of, like, 55, 60, who's not going out is usually tapping into these shows just because there's nothing else going on, and you're just watching, you're not at a party, you're not out anywhere, and this is it. Carson Daly also hosted these shows for a long time. I don't know, maybe he still does it. I'm not even sure. I will not miss it. I will say fantasy because the thing for me, sadly enough, is I would say because of Billy Joel being in concert in South Florida three times in the last 5 years, I've been up past midnight. I've definitely checked out, man. I have checked out before midnight at least once or twice. in the last decade without even watching these. So I will not miss it. But hey, it's always fun to see somebody making fun of themselves. Nick Cannon, I think, is one of those people who did the shows. Jenny McCarthy comes to mind as being on those. Ryan Seacrest comes to mind. But yeah, I mean, whatever. It's not on my to-do list this year, that is for sure. All right, we got to take one final time out here on the show. We got the Sports Grid 60 coming up next. And then the early line, getting you ready for Thursday night football, is also on deck. As a reminder, 2 o'clock Eastern, right back here in the house for Newswire. We get you ready for Thursday night football. And for those of you who watch our show every single day, programming going to be a little bit different next week for the Thanksgiving holiday. So different shows Thursday and Friday of next week. But don't despair. For those of you who play DFS and play fantasy football, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of next week, we will get you completely ready for next weekend in fantasy football. So don't go away. We'll be right back to wrap it up.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Davis and I will be right back here tomorrow morning. Looking forward to recapping Thursday Night Football. Look ahead to the weekend. But before we go today, let's turn it over to Davis. He wraps it up with the Sports Grid 60.
You know, Craig, it is getting to be that time of year. I guess it's actually, I wonder, I don't know, is it as bad in Miami? Because here in the central United States, 4:30, oh, sun's out, getting done with work, like, oh, a whole day ahead of me. All of a sudden, it's 5 o'clock, no light, you can't see out your windows, you know, you're eating dinner, and you're ready to shut it down. Like, it is insane to me. And it's going to be honestly hard for me, I think, to follow up with everything going on in the NBA once the World Cup starts, because I'm going to have been watching sports for 8 hours all day, and then it's going to be dinner time, and it's going to be pitch black outside. I'm going to have to be using my organizational skills at – they're going to have to be functioning at 110% starting in about 3 days.
Yeah, no, I don't know how you're going to do it with World Cup starting too. The good thing is I could just check in and see what happened. You got to watch those things. Okay, so last night they named the American League and National League Cy Young Awards for the first time since 1968. It was unanimous. Justin Verlander won unanimously, and Sandy Alcantara of the Miami Marlins won unanimously as well. Now, I talked about this early in the week, didn't really disclose, but I did have a chance last night for the first time ever to go to an individual's house, a player's house, that actually won the award. And what a wonderful experience. I mean, you can only imagine what that must be like. I had a chance last night to experience that, see his family all excited, players on the team as well. And just congrats again to Sandy Alcantara for pulling that off. This guy was, you know, in the Dominican Republic many years ago, and certainly has made an unbelievable career for himself, a wonderful family for him as well. So congrats, Sandy, for winning the award. That'll do it for the show. Thanks again to LTN, Michael, and Brett Levy, of course, our producer, our great graphics department. For Davis Madigan, I'm Craig Mish. Enjoy the rest of your day. We'll see you tomorrow.